Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. At this time, we would like to welcome everyone to UltraPAR's 1Q19 results conference call. There is also a simultaneous webcast that may be accessed through UltraPAR's website at ri.ultra.com.br and MZIQ platform. Please feel free to flip through the slides during the conference call. Today with us, we have Mr. Andre Pierce, Chief Financial and Investor Relations Officer, together with other executives of UltraPAR. We would like to inform you that this event is being recorded and all participants will be in a listen-only mode during the company's presentation. After UltraPAR's remarks are completed, there will be a question and answer session. At that time, further instructions will be given. Should any participant need assistance during this call, please press star and zero to reach the operator. We remind you that questions which will be answered during the Q&A session may be posted in advance in the webcast. A replay of this call will be available for 1 week. Before proceeding, let me mention that forward-looking statements are being made under the Safe Harbor and Securities Litigation Reform Act of 1996. Forward-looking statements are based on the beliefs and assumptions of UltraPAR management and on information currently available to the company. They involve risks, uncertainties, and assumptions because they relate to future events and therefore depend on circumstances that may or may not occur in the future. Investors should understand that general economic conditions, industry conditions, and other operating factors could also affect the future results of UltraPAR and could cause results to differ materially from those expressed in such forward-looking statements. Now I'll turn the conference call over to Mr. Pierce. Mr. Pierce, you may begin the conference.
Well, thank you very much. Good morning, everyone. It's a pleasure to be here with you to discuss UltraPAR's first quarter 2019 results and our perspectives and priorities for the next quarters. With me today are the officers from our businesses as well as our investor relations team. Before I begin, I'd like to draw your attention to slide number 2, where we highlight some new criteria adopted for preparing the quarterly numbers, changes that are effective from 2019 on. Starting in the first quarter, we have adopted the new IFRS 16 on a prospective basis, which has some impacts on the reporting of operational leases in our financial statements. In addition to the IFRS 16, we have decided to report the corporate segment separately from the business units, thus providing greater transparency on our expenses as well as improving comparability among peer companies. The corporate line includes expenses relating to the structure of the UltraPAR holding company. These two changes are described in detail in our earnings release, together with comparative tables. In order to keep comparability, since these changes have been made on a prospective basis or without changing past figures, we continue to present in this discussion the results according to the previous criteria already known to you. Moving on to slide number 3, during the course of the first quarter, signs that the expected economy recovery was becoming more difficult became increasingly apparent with diminishing GDP forecasts for the year, as well as weaker industrial performance. In the table in the upper right-hand side, we can see some market indicators related to the sectors we operate in. Data published by the Brazilian Association of Pharmacies, Abrafarma, show a significant increase in competition in retail pharmacy sector, with a strong expansion of Abrafarma members over the past few quarters in all geographic regions in Brazil. In the LPG distribution sector, there has been also a decline in domestic consumption. Among our businesses segments, the only one to report year-on-year growth was the fuel distribution business, with a recovery of volumes in recent quarters. More specifically, in the first quarter of 2019, sales volumes of diesel and auto cycle increased by 2 and 3% respectively. Looking at UltraPAR results in the quarter, adjusted EBITDA was 782 million reais after the adoption of the IFRS 16. If the impacts of the new accounting standards were not to be considered, adjusted EBITDA was 698 million reais, a growth of 37% over the amount reported in the first quarter of 2018. However, when adjusted for the leaky gas breakup fee settled last year, there was a 12% reduction in adjusted EBITDA. We will provide greater detail for each business during the presentation. UltraPAR's net earnings were 251 million reais compared to 73 million reais reported in the first quarter of 2018. This again, a reflection of the liquid gas fine. Cash flow generated from operational activities was 462 million reais in the quarter, well above the fourth quarter of 2018. Let's now move on to Ipiranga's performance in slide number 4. Continuing along the path of late 2018, sales volume in the first quarter of 2019 was 5.6 million cubic meters, an increase of 2% compared with the first quarter of 2018. There was an increase of 3.2% in Otto cycle, which was slightly above the market. Diesel sales volume rose 2% in line with market growth. We ended the first quarter of 2019 with a network of 7,218 service stations. That's a net addition of 138 units compared with the first quarter of 2018, and stable in relation to the fourth quarter of 2018. In addition to the service station network, we continue to pursue our strategy of differentiation and innovation, including the expansion of our franchise network. Ipiranga's app Abastece Aí continues to gain customer traction, reaching 7.7 million transactions in the first quarter of 2019. There was also an addition of 700,000 new customers in the quarter, totaling 2.2 million registered individuals with transactions to date. Ipiranga recorded a reduction of 8% in expenses compared with the first quarter of 2018. This is firstly due to a reduction at Iconic related to higher initial expenses linked to the integration of the businesses in 2018. Another factor was the reduction of expenses, particularly with advertising and marketing, while provisioning for losses was also lower, in line with an improvement in customer credit ratings. Therefore, adjusted EBITDA amounted to 538 million reais, a reduction of 8% compared with the first quarter of 2018. This performance was due to lower gross margins in AutoCycle, partially offset by greater sales volumes and lower expenses in the period. Profitability indicators continue to show a recovery from the past few quarters, and unitary EBITDA was 96 reais per cubic meter, a sequential evolution over the first quarter of 2018. Despite the seasonally negative effects between periods, considering the previously mentioned adjustment of IFRS 16 and the separation of the corporate segment, Ipiranga's adjusted EBITDA was 594 million reais. The increase in international oil prices and its derivatives over the past few months, combined with a less favorable outlook for the economic environment, imposed challenges for a faster recovery. With a more cautious approach in the short term, we continue to work on various fronts to optimize operational efficiency and the capital allocation, including initiatives to reduce expenses. In addition, we are placing a greater focus on the development of convenience and digital initiatives, with structures dedicated to each of these activities. For the current year, we are maintaining our forecast of sales volume growth above GDP, as well as a recovery in EBITDA on a year-on-year basis. Moving on to Oxiteno now in slide number 5, Oxiteno's total sales volume in the first quarter of 2019 was 180,000 tons, stable compared to last year. Commodity volumes rose 12% compared with the first quarter last year, thanks to new sales agreements. On the other hand, specialty chemical volume was down 2% against the same quarter due to slowing of the Brazilian economy, impacting the mix of volume sold by Oxiteno. Consequently, sales volumes in the domestic market reduced 2% year-on-year. However, in the international market, the ramp-up at the new Pasadena plant contributed to an increase of 4% in sales volume, particularly in the USA. This was an atypical quarter for Oxiteno, probably the lowest profitability recorded in a quarter in many years. Regarding margins, the speed and intensity of the decrease in reference prices for petrochemicals, particularly related to the increase in this product supply and high levels of inventories in international markets, significantly impacted Oxiteno's profitability, as you can see in the graph on the lower left-hand side. Therefore, Oxiteno recorded an EBITDA of 34 million reais in the quarter, a decline of 33% when compared with the first quarter of 2018. Factors driving this result were the lower level of unitary margins in dollars, the sales mix with a greater share of commodities, as well as the higher cost of the Pasadena plant, despite the 16% devaluation of the real against the dollar. Considering the previously mentioned adjustments of IFRS 16 and the separation of the corporate segment, Oxiteno's EBITDA was 39 million reais. We should see an increase in volumes in the second quarter. On the other hand, we are still facing pressure on margins of commodities. The combination of these effects should lead to a gradual improvement in the results, although lower than the same period of 2018. We are working on initiatives to reduce expenses and capital in face of the more challenging environment. Moving on to slide number 6 and the performance of Ultragas. During the first quarter, sales volume of Ultragas was down 4% year-on-year, while sales volumes for the market reduced approximately 2% in both segments. Bottled segment volume was 4% less, also when compared with the first quarter of last year. This was due to a decline in consumption and to a temporary cut of supply in LPG by some refineries. In the bulk segment, sales volume was down by 3%. Here, there was a reduction in consumption on the part of industrial clients, and in line with the tendency we have seen in industrial activity as a whole. Despite Ultragas customary cost discipline, we saw 33 million reais rise in SG&A expenses due to greater provisioning for loan losses, higher expenses with labor indemnifications related to adjustments in the organization and legal contingencies in the first quarter of 2019. With this, EBITDA at Ultragas was 97 million reais in the quarter, 17% less than the EBITDA reported in the first quarter of 2018, adjusted for the leaky gas fine. Considering the previously mentioned adjustments of IFRS 16 and the separation of the corporate segment, Ultragas EBITDA was 108 million reais. The issues surrounding the supply of LPG, which I just mentioned, were resolved in April, so we do not expect any further significant impact. The outlook is for a gradual resumption in the moderate growth trajectory expected for the full year. Going on to Ultracargo now in slide number 7, in the first quarter of 2019, Ultracargo's average storage increased by 5% in relation to the first quarter of 2019. This result is due to a greater movement at the Santos terminal, combined with additional ethanol handling activities, more than offsetting the decline in fuels handling at the terminals. In the quarter, Ultracargo's EBITDA was 52 million reais. That's 27% higher in relation to the same period last year, a combination of greater average storage, contractual readjustments at the terminals, and an increase in operational efficiency. Considering the previously mentioned adjustments of IFRS 16 and the separation of corporate segment, Ultracargo's EBITDA was 59 million reais. For the year, we expect the current market dynamic to continue and a trajectory similar to the first quarter of 2019. In addition, we announced yesterday the outcome of an agreement with the Public Prosecutor's Office about the fire incident at the Santos Terminal in 2015. The total amount of the agreement is 67.5 million reais to be disbursed up to September 2020. We had a provision of 15 million reais related to this matter, and we will complement this provision in the remaining amount during the second quarter of 2019. Let's move on now to slide number 8 and talk about Extrafarma. Extrafarma ended the first quarter of 19 with 440 drug stores, a gross addition of 65 stores in the past 12 months and 9 stores in the quarter. At the end of the period, 54% of the stores had been open for less than 3 years, the same level as the first quarter of 2018. Extrafarma's gross revenue in the first quarter of 2019 increased by 1% compared to the first quarter of 18. This represents a 3% increase in retail sales and reflects a larger average number of stores and the annual adjustment in pharmaceutical prices. However, these effects were offset by an intensification in the competitive environment. The expansion of competitors in Extrafarma main markets has reduced its margins. Therefore, EBITDA for the quarter was a negative 21 million reais, mainly reflecting the impact of an intensely competitive market and expansion of the network. Considering the previously mentioned adjustments of IFRS 16 and the separation of the corporate segment, Extrafarma's EBITDA after adjustments was R$1 million. In the current quarter, we see no significant change in the competitive environment, which continues to be tight. But these effects should be gradually offset over the next quarters with the maturing of gross revenues and the annual adjustments of medicine prices, better service arising from the stabilization of the new retail system, better management of expenses, and closing of poorly performing stores. To conclude, I would like to comment on some of the initiatives we have been taking at the beginning of the year, as well as our priorities and perspectives for 2019. We were successful in some port concessions actions organized by the government early in the year. Through a consortium, Ipiranga was successful in bids to invest and operate lots at the ports of Cabedelo in the state of Paraíba and Vitória in the state of Espírito Santo for a minimum term of 25 years. Ipiranga also won the concession for two areas in the port of Miramar in the state of Pará for a minimum period of 15 years. This is a strategic move for Ipiranga, which will now have its own storage and ports of Cabedelo and Vitória, in addition to expand capacity at the port of Miramar. Therefore, it will expand its logistical efficiency in the distribution of fuels and the quality of the service provided in the respective regions. Ultracargo won the bid for a terminal in the port of Vila do Conde, also in the state of Pará, for a minimum term of 25 years. The terminal will have a minimum capacity of 59,000 cubic meters, and operations are scheduled to begin in 2023. This will be Ultracargo's seventh terminal and a strategic initiative in an area with a growing demand for fuels. Investments in these concessions will be disbursed over the next 5 years. We held our annual general meeting on April 10th, and our shareholders approved some important matters, including the election of the board of directors for the next 2 years, with the entry of 4 new members. This will bring additional experience in a complementary way to the board and the adjustment of the company's corporate bylaws for the new regulation of the Novo Mercado segment 2 years ahead of the deadline. In spite of an operational performance which is still below historical levels, we are committed and taking steps to improve the profitability indicators of the businesses and maintaining our financial soundness. This will involve initiatives to reduce expenses and focus on capital allocation without sacrificing the company's long-term growth. With this, I conclude my presentation for today. Thank you all for participating on this call. We can now begin the Q&A session. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The floor is now open for questions. If you have a question, please press star and then one on your touch-tone phones at this or any time. If at any point your question is answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing star and two. In case you are following the conference via webcast, please click on Question to the Host to send your question. Questions will be taken in the order in which they are received. We do ask that when you pose your question that you pick up your handset to provide optimum sound quality. Please hold while we poll for questions. And our first question comes from Fernanda Cunha from Citibank. Please go ahead with your question.
Hi, good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for taking my question. Some of my questions are going to be on the follow-up of the Portuguese call, okay? So the first one is related to the sequential sales that you have seen in Ipiranga. When we look at month over month this quarter, that means January against December 2018, February against January, and that on. We see that sales volumes are performing behind your top two peers competitors. Can you comment why this has happened and what do you expect in upcoming quarters in terms of volume growth? And also, if you could provide a rough number of fuel station openings for 2019. The second one is related to SG&A in Ipiranga. You mentioned in the last call that SG&A improved 10 reais per cubic meter, but when we try to exclude the impact of iconic expenses, it seems that on a recurring basis, it has only improved around 5 reais. Could you help us quantify how much you have achieved in SG&A cost-cutting initiatives? And the third one is if you could comment on the returns expected in which you took the decision to participate in the port concessions auctions, given that you'll be spending around $500 million in expansion capex for the next couple of years. I'm just wondering what drove that decision and what can we expect in terms of better returns on this decision. Thank you.
I'm going to start with the third question, Fernando. Thanks for the questions. But starting with the port concessions, basically, the vision for these concessions were basically the same type of vision we have for Ultracargo and for Ipiranga, which is the fact that structurally we see Brazil as a country that will, in the long run, be short on refined fuel products. Therefore, it's very important that you have the logistic infrastructure to be able to provide for this increasing movement of fuels throughout the country. These investments, I mean, the prices that we ended up committing both for Ipiranga and for Ultracargo, something that I can say that they ended up being below what we were considering the maximum amount that we were that we would be willing to pay for this auction. So clearly, the returns that we were already expecting were obviously above our weighted average cost of capital. Obviously, this is an information that we do not disclose. But we ended up paying, or at least winning, the price for this bid was below what we were expecting. So therefore, our expected return will be higher, so significantly higher than our weighted average cost of capital, both for Ipiranga and Ultracargo. Just a question about this. Just a second about the volumes. Okay, if we look at the volumes, and we tend to look at the volumes more on a year-on-year basis, on a longer-term basis. If we take the first quarter of 2019, right? Our volume grew by 2.3% on a consolidated basis, basically auto cycle plus diesel, while the overall market grew by 2.3%. So it grew exactly the same level as the total market. If we compare our growth with Plural, which is the basically the association of the three largest players, Plural volume on a consolidated basis in the first quarter of 19 compared to the first quarter of 18 grew by 0.5%. We grew by 2.3%. So, and if we look at this on a sequential basis, quarter by quarter, but on a year-on-year basis, we've been growing either in line or slightly above the market. So, I don't think we should look at these numbers on a month-by-month basis. We should look at these numbers on a more longer period of time. And if we look at market share, our market share has been stable over the last few quarters, and Ipiranga has been maintaining its position comparing with its peers and comparing with the market in general terms. As for the SG&A, let me just take a look here on the breakdown separating Iconic. Just a second, please. No, you're correct. So the R$5 per cubic meter belongs to Iconic. So the recurring is R$5. But something that I mentioned in the morning in the Portuguese call is that looking at the last three quarters, Ipiranga had been even excluding Iconic, right? Either reducing its SG&A or keeping it stable. So this quarter particularly, there was a reduction. And we see this trend continuing towards the year, right? So the focus is in some of the levers that we can control. One of these levers is definitely SG&A. So there is a lot of initiatives within Ipiranga to keep this type of performance on the following quarters.
Okay, thank you very much for the answer.
Our next question comes from Leonardo Marcondes from Itaú BBA. Please go ahead with your question.
Hi, André. Thanks for taking my question. So last year, we saw global companies joining the Brazilian fuel distribution market through acquisitions. And in the last few months, we've seen ex-Plural players increasing their volumes, even with a reduction in imports. So I would like to know if you could evaluate the competitiveness on both pricing and branding new gas station fronts in this new environment. Also, on this, I would like to know if you guys track those stations that are not renewing with Ipiranga. I mean, if there are, if most of them are going to the other big fuel distributors, or if they are choosing more regional or local distributors, if they are choosing to become white flags, or even if they are shutting down. So that's my my question. Thank you.
All right. So, Leonardo, thanks for the questions. In terms of the competitive environment with the new players that came into the market, I think you were referring to the new, let's say, international traders that ended up investing in distribution. We haven't seen any major change in their behaviors that we could interpret as a significant change in a competitive environment. The competitive environment remains, let's say, very tight under pressure. You're right. I mean, the white flag gas stations that I think everybody anticipated that when Petrobras reduced the arbitrage opportunity of the spread between local and international prices, this would, let's say, reduce their competitive advantage. But they've been proven very resilient, especially in a market where we do not see growth coming from the side of the consumer. So I think the business model has been proven resilient in an environment like that. But both ourselves and our competitors remain also very competitive, although we are not seeing that such a strong market share gain from the part of independent or white flags as we saw when we had this big arbitrage opportunity. So I think we're holding on fairly well, but the competitive environment remains under pressure. As for the stations that are not renewing the contract with us, I mean, basically their destiny, basically there are three different paths that they follow. Some of them basically leave the business. They eventually sell their real estate or invest in their real estate to do something else, a parking lot, a real estate development, something like a deposit or something like that. Some others, or most of them, they go back to be a white flag. The vast minority of this churn goes to our, let's say, peers. I mean, traditionally, and it continues to be the case, most part of the churn is either going back to white flags or leaving the business or doing something else with their plot of land. And not that there's not, it's a vast minority of this players that are branded by our competitors.
Okay, that's perfect. Thank you.
Our next question comes from Gabriel Francisco from XP Investimentos. Please go ahead with your question.
Hi, Andre. Thank you for the call. It's going down in the last question a little bit from my colleague. But if you are seeing a lower arbitrage opportunity, and I agree, we all agree with that, where does this resilience in the white flags and players that you that use imports is coming from? Because what we would expect is that this would, at the end of the day, benefit those who are the traditional big players and who have scale. And why are we? What's keeping you from expanding market share and expanding margins if your competitor has a lower advantage? That's my number one question. My second question regards, it's a little bit of Oxiteno and Ultracargo. We have seen disruptions in Braskem operations, and some have mentioned disruptions that could affect the Camaçari complex in terms of the supply chain. Are any of Oxiteno's operations indirectly affected by the disruptions with Braskem, or Ultracargo's storage business in the region? That's my second question. Thank you.
Hi, Gabriel. Thanks for the questions. The question number one about the competitiveness of the white flags. Well, they have a business model that is efficient, especially in an environment that we do not see a lot of growth from the part of the consumer. The wallet effect in the fuel distribution business in an environment where unemployment remains high, disposable income remains low, is very efficient for players that do have a business model that are more lean. They have some scale in the areas that they operate. They have basically lower overhead, less investments in their gas stations. So when the main decision making impact is price, they have a business model that remains very resilient and very competitive. We structurally believe that a gas station that offers differentiation through convenience, through innovation, over time tends to recover this market share. But for that, we need an economic dynamic that is different than the economic dynamic we are living in. So to answer your question, the expected recovery in terms of market share from the big players versus the white flags, I think, are very dependent today on the recovery of economic activity. As for the issue with Braskem, there's no impact for Oxiteno whatsoever, and neither there is an impact for Ultracargo. So this is not related to any of these of our two businesses.
Thank you. That was very clear.
Our next question comes from Frank McGann from Bank of America. Please go ahead with your question.
Okay, thank you very much. Just continuing with Ipiranga, it appears that you did not add any stores in the quarter. And also for the company as a whole, CapEx was quite low. So I was just wondering what your thoughts are in terms of growth, in terms of service stations this year, as well as in the other businesses and overall CapEx, if you could provide a little bit of a view on that.
Hi, Frank. Thanks for the question. Basically, when we look at the first quarter of 2019, we had the same number of gross additions and churn. So we added 43 or inaugurated 43 new stations, and the churn was coincidentally also 43. There are a few reasons for that. First, as you know, there is a seasonality in terms of inauguration of gas stations in our businesses in Brazil as well. Normally, the seasonality is more towards the second semester of the year, so it was a weaker quarter in terms of inaugurations. Nevertheless, we reduced our backlog of from 300 to 250, roughly to 250 gas stations that have been already contracted for, paid for, and have to be inaugurated. When you look at CapEx was really below what we were expecting for the first quarter, taking into consideration our budget. Also, partially due to some seasonality impact, and partially due to waiting for the right moment and looking for the ideal returns in terms of the investments we were making. It's important to mention that normally during a regular year at Ultrapar, there is a catch-up after the first and the second quarters towards the end of the year as well. However, it doesn't mean that we're necessarily going to basically have exactly the same number in terms of CapEx as expected in our budget. There's a few changes in assumptions. The first change is related to the auctions, the ports that I mentioned during my speech. We won two bids, which represent a commitment of around R1 billion for the next 5 years. But for 2019 specifically, there is a commitment, an additional commitment of R96 million, R51 million for Ipiranga, R45 million for Ultracargo, which were not budgeted to begin with. So we're going to accommodate this R96 million into the budget originally approved. But the second assumption is more related to the speed of the economic recovery and the way the economy is performing in 2019. So that also might eventually entail some potential reductions if we see that the economy is not reacting the way we were expecting. The focus is to continue to generate, to have better generation of operating cash flow also in 2019. And because of that, one of the important levers we have to pull is CapEx. The other important lever is working capital. Just to give you an example, when we had a very good performance in terms of working capital in the first quarter, again, as we did in the fourth quarter of 2018. Only in Ipiranga, our cash conversion cycle was reduced by 3 days compared to the first quarter of 2018. So 3 days for Ipiranga is R200 million each day, right? So it's R600 million of working capital improvement despite the increasing prices, despite the pressure in terms of inventories. So we are using the levers of CapEx, using the levers of working capital to keep on increasing our operating cash flow generation. So making a long story short, I mean, if we had to be a little bit more conservative in terms of CapEx, in order to achieve this objective, we will.
Okay, great. Very, very interesting. Thanks. If I could follow up with just a kind of a bigger picture question in terms of how you are seeing the downstream business. I mean, you're obviously in a key portion of that with distribution, and you've mentioned that potentially you could look at Petrobras refinery offerings. But whether you would do that or would end up doing anything or not on that front, do you see the opening up of the refining business to potentially include more players as having as potentially affecting the business in a way that would positively or negatively potentially impact Ipiranga?
That's a very good question, Frank. I think that conceptually, an environment where you do not have a monopolistic supplier, right, being among the largest retail players in a market like that would give us very important bargaining power when we're talking to a supplier, right? So a more diversified supply base, I think, is positive for a large distribution company such as ourselves. It's also positive for the end consumer. It will become a more fluid, competitive environment. Obviously, today, I mean, we are in an environment where the fact that we are a very important and large player, and eventually in some specific regions of the country, like the South or Southeast, we are very big, doesn't yield us any advantage from a cost point of view, right? So an environment with very clear rules and more players, I mean, it's basically technically or conceptually more positive for a player such as Ipiranga. Obviously, as I mentioned before, I mean, we have like an obligation, right, to be very close to this process, to investigate if it makes sense for us to participate or not. But in any case, from a structural point of view, conceptually, a change such as this one is very positive.
Okay, thank you very much.
Our next question comes from Luis Carvalho from Banco UBS. Please go ahead with your question.
Hi, Andre. Thanks for taking the question again. I just would like to make actually two additional questions, one question and one follow-up. The first one in about Oxiteno. I remember in the past you mentioning that for every cent of real depreciation, we should see around 40 million of additional EBITDA in the company, right? I'd just like to check with you if this correlation is still valid now, because as part of a weaker real, we did not see, how can I say, this offset on the results as of now. And the second one, I'd like to come back to one question made in the Portuguese call, maybe in a different way, in terms of the comparison on EBITDA growth for 2018. What the number you're using for the ETA for the 2019 versus 2018? Can we use the official report, the number, or should we make the any adjustment? Thank you.
Hi, Luis. Thanks for the questions. In terms of Oxiteno, yes, for each 10 cents of currency devaluation, you can estimate 40 to 50 million reais of additional EBITDA. This is remains absolutely the case. But what happened in the first quarter was that the acceleration of the devaluation happened more towards the end of the first quarter, if you compare to the first quarter of last year. And this impact was not enough, was not sufficient when compared to the impact of the very strong drop of the glycol, or the price of the glycol, or the margins of the commodities. But this remains the case, and this should help the results in the second quarter definitely. Even with the pressure on glycol margins, the currency devaluation should benefit the results on the second quarter. As for your second question, that's a very, basically, I will try to repeat to answer the question the same way, but eventually trying to explain a little bit more. We see growth in our consolidated EBITDA comparing apples to apples, right? I mean, you saw in 2018 we had one-offs that some of them impacted negatively the EBITDA, some others impacted positively EBITDA. So if you take out these non-recurring items, we will see growth on the EBITDA. Is our expectation, in fact, to see EBITDA growing in 2019.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Once again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star and then one. Our next question comes from Liliana Yang from HSBC. Please go ahead with your question.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. You mentioned the active portfolio management and at the same time analysis of growth opportunities, right? So given your leverage at the 2.65 times today, the slowly improvement in the economic environment, could you give more color on the growth opportunities? It does not seem to be on refining. It looks like it could be more on logistics. Is there something else there? And how would you fund that growth, meaning, how sizable that could be? Any color on that would be helpful. And a second question is more on Ipiranga. So is it possible to see Ipiranga closing the profitability gap to Raízen and Combustíveis? And how do you think Ipiranga could achieve that? Thanks.
Hi, Liliana. Thanks for your questions. In terms of our vision for the portfolio, we see some opportunities that we started, in a way, to execute with the auctions that we won recently for terminals in ports. So basically, we see in the short term in Brazil opportunities that are related to logistics infrastructure. So we are focusing on and executing on that. And we see, and we follow up very closely, the initiatives that Petrobras that have been in a way either announced or commented by Petrobras as its objective to reduce some of its exposure in some sectors. So obviously refining is one of them that we are following up, and I mentioned during the Portuguese call, I mean, we consider ourselves a pure fuel distribution company. It's not part of our original strategy to become a producer of refined fuel, but eventually, if the opportunity makes sense, we are going to investigate. As we were going to investigate other opportunities that are eventually available related to some other Petrobras assets. Now, in terms of funding this growth, I mean, basically, we've been already deleveraging since the end of last year. We continue to see a stronger, let's say, cash flow generation that will help on the deleveraging phase. And again, if we have an opportunity that makes sense, that will generate important returns to our shareholders, that can generate returns from synergies as well, we might consider even going a little higher in terms of leverage in order to take advantage of these opportunities. But in any case, in the short term, we don't see any reason to increase or any opportunity that would require this increase in leveraging. I mean, these are things much more towards the long term than the short term. I think it's important also to mention, in addition to the issues related to logistics infrastructure or Petrobras assets, to the initiatives that Ipiranga and ourselves have been dedicating to, let's say, the other digital and convenience initiatives of Ipiranga. I mentioned in my speech that we're dedicating time and specific structures to evaluate these initiatives, both in the case of the NPM convenience store or the other digital initiatives, as mentioned in the speech, the traction that our app Abastece.ai has been gaining, and also the increase in the number of participants of our loyalty program. So this is also something that we are dedicating a lot of time, and that we can obviously give more focus now and in the future.
Thanks. Yeah, maybe on the Ipiranga question and the profitability gap to Raízen, mainly, if you can comment.
In terms of the profitability gap, well, basically, I mean, as I mentioned before, I mean, we've been improving our unitary SG&A per cubic meter. We've been sequentially improving our EBITDA since the second semester of last year. We don't have a focus specifically in closing the gap. Our focus is to keep on improving our profitability. So we think that we are on track for that. Profitability has been improving. EBITDA per cubic meter has been improving as well. And we see that this trajectory should continue. Obviously, this will happen more consistently or on a more stronger way if we see the economy helping, right? If we see some headwinds, some tailwinds from the economy. So unfortunately, for the beginning of this year, this hasn't happened. But I mean, we are focusing on this improvement, and we are very consistent in working towards that.
Okay, thanks, Andrea.
Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes today's question and answer session. At this time, I would like to turn the conference call back over to Mr. Pierce for any closing remarks.
Well, thank you all for the participation on the call. As always, our IR team is available to answer some of your other questions. Thank you very much, and I hope to see you all on the second quarter results call in August. Thank you.
Thank you. This concludes today's Ultrapar's 1Q19 results conference call. You may now disconnect your lines at this time.